he was in the Reformed churches originally. The Dutch Reformed originally. I don't know if he finished in that or not. But I know there's some good Dutch Reformed who want nothing to do with him. But that was where he started. And by the way, his son, Robert Schuller Jr., when he took over the Crystal Cathedral, he started preaching the biblical gospel. And his dad fired him.
Wow.
You look it up. A real man of God preaches like this. This is an evil generation.
Amen.
The sinner has to grasp their lost condition before God can help them. The old saying is, you got to be lost before you can be saved.
Yeah.
You have to understand God is holy. You are wicked. You are depraved. You are given over to sin. You have that desire in you to sin. So what do? Well, you join a church, get baptized, start giving money, go through all the sacraments, and then die in good grace, right? Not to take care of your sin problem, you don't. There's only one way to take care of your sin problem, and that is by looking to the cross.
Amen.
Jesus himself, God in human form, paid a debt that you owed, but a debt that you could not pay.
Amen.
You owe an infinite payment. You have sinned against a sinless and infinite God. Your works could be multiplied by a million and still wouldn't pay for the first single sin you ever committed against God.
Amen.
That's why we call you to repent.
Amen.
You stop thinking you can do something. You stop your love affair with the sin that put him on the cross. You get rid of the false religious ideas you have about being saved by your own works. You come empty-handed, repenting toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, empty-handed. And you basically are saying, when you believe on that cross, you're saying, I can't do a thing. I'm lost. I'm without hope. I must have Jesus. You are telling God, I cannot be saved by anything, anyone other than God on the cross.
Amen.
And he shed sinless blood, the blood of God dripping off that cross to pay for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
That moment you're saved, then you ought to find a good local church. Then you ought to read your Bible. You ought to pray, get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You ought to serve the Lord and preach the gospel, and not one of those things has anything to do with you being saved.
Amen.
Not one of those things helps to save you. All of those things are done not to be saved, but because you are saved.
Amen.
And most religions, even in the name of Christianity today, have it totally backwards.
Yeah.
And they will encourage you to work for something you can't work for. That's why Jesus says, they seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For one thing, Jesus wasn't doing signs on demand.
Amen.
Come on, Jesus, show us something. That wasn't his purpose, and that's not how he rolled. Look at verse 30 now. He says, for as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Now, Jesus explains that elsewhere. We're going to compare Scripture with Scripture, and we'll just not turn there. Just read it. Matthew 12:40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be there be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth.
Amen.
And that's one of the reasons we don't believe in Good Friday. I take Jesus at his word that he was in the earth, in that tomb, 3 days and 3 nights.
Amen.
And I don't care how much belly aching and Yahoo and they do about it. You can't get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday night sunset to Sunday morning sunrise. Unless you are Common Core math. That's the only way you'll ever get that. I love this from the Fourfold Gospel. It's written in 1914. It said, quote, Jonah's preservation was a sign from heaven because wrought without human instrumentality. The resurrection of Christ was such a sign to the Jews, But rejecting it, they continued to seek other signs. Folks, to this day, there's the lost Jews. There's a remnant of believers. But the lost Jews continue to seek signs. They continue to reject their Messiah, Jesus. How many of you saw this week? The big stampede killed 10 kids, 45 people, 150 others injured. You know what that was all about? It was a bunch of Orthodox Jews who do not follow the Torah. You'll hear people say they do not. They follow the Talmud, the traditions, the very things they followed instead of Jesus. And they were celebrating a Christ-rejecting mystic deceased among them. And in that celebration, the devils whipped them up and they stampeded a couple hundred people. And that is the spirit is controlling the Jews in Israel today, a spirit of Sodom, and it is preparing for the coming of the Antichrist.
Yep, right.
We have more to say about this, but we return to the main thrust of Jesus' comments. Look at verse 31. Read that with me. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Now, how many of you remember that story? Well, let's go look at it anyway. Only three of you said yes. So let's go look at it. 1 Kings 10. 1 Kings 10, beginning in verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was amazed. Look, verses 6 through 9. Read verse 6. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. So this is comparable to someone hearing the gospel and saying, this, it has a ring of truth to it. And then they turn to the word of God and begin to search the scriptures. Look at verse 7. Read that. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. If you can grasp this, it's like people can hear about Jesus and hear that Jesus can really give you peace and he can help you get through life and he can save your soul from hell first and foremost. And you just, that just doesn't sound right. So what do? You go and you're confronted with the gospel. And with the gospel, then you see how God saves you. This is an Old Testament type of that situation. Look at verse 8. Read that. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. That's the testimony of the church for 2,000 years. Now look at verse 9 and read that. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made he thee king to do judgment and justice. Now, that story is what Jesus is talking about. Now, this is about judgment day. And I think a lot of people don't get judgment day. They just think you're going to stand up and there's God on the throne and he's going to say guilty or not. It's not going to be like that. This is going to be a full-blown court hearing. You're going to ask Brother Jack back there what that's about. Some of you have been through court recently. I know about half a dozen of you. You notice that this is condemnation of the condemned by a believer. She's a believer. And she's going to stand there and hear about these people who not only heard the Old Testament revelation, they got to see the Messiah face to face. saw his miracles and still rejected him? And think about it, there's going to be a confrontation. How many of you thought about Judgment Day like that? And think about what we're told. Again, the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment. I don't think he's just saying this. I think he's telling you what's going to happen. This queen at the great white throne judgment will stand, will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. Amen. Judgment Day is real, folks. And it's going to be as real as any confrontation you've ever had in your life. Be more real. It'd be much different than most believe it to be. Look at verse 32 again in Luke 11. Jesus has given us the example of Nineveh. Now look at, the Queen of Sheba. Now look, he uses the men of Nineveh. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. The men of Nineveh. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Folks, today, those rejecting Jesus Christ, listen, if you give it any thought and effort at all, there's no excuse for rejecting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as historic events that happened. And you can, if you so choose, you can listen to the greatest historians of our day lay out the evidence for the real person named Jesus Christ, and that includes people who aren't even Christians. Historians who have to admit your New Testament documents are among the most well-attested documents we have from ancient times. There is none that compare. And yet Satan's got his slithering little liars out there telling you the Bible's full of contradictions and the Bible isn't really trustworthy. That just proves you're stupid if you repeat that, because that means you have chosen to listen to liars and not to listen to all the evidence. Amen. All you have to do is listen to a debate where there's both sides represented fairly, and it'll blow you away. We have a book by Gary Habermas about the historical facts regarding the resurrection. How many unbelievers have ever taken the time to read that book? I've read their crap. I was raised for 12 years to be taught that there's no God, Darwinism, and all this garbage. I've read their books. I've read Hitchens. I've read Dawkins. I've read Harris. I've read the old guys, the Ingersolls, the Voltaires. I've read those guys. But you know what the atheists are? Close-minded fools. And they won't read all the evidence, and they're going to stand at the great white throne, and people like me are going to stand there and say, you deserve condemned.
Amen. Yep,
amen.
That's Judgment Day. It's going to be real, folks. Again, interactive judgment. From now on, I hope you think about this. Judgment Day is an interactive event.
Yep.
No live streaming, no video. You're going to be right there bodily. You're either going to be standing there in the white robes of righteousness of Jesus Christ because you've trusted in his payment on the cross and the power of his resurrection, or you, believe it or not, are going to stand there naked before the entire population of humanity. Now, you wouldn't want to do that in a small group like your graduation. You think about high school graduation. They say some people have dreams, right? The night before graduation, and they walk up there naked to get their diploma. And it makes them so embarrassed, they wake up with the jitters. That ain't nothing compared to going to Judgment Day without the righteousness of Christ, without the robe of righteousness on, because you're going to stand there in front of every human being and all the angels and your Creator naked before God. Now, I want you to look over Jonah real quick. Jonah is one of those books where you can sit down and read that in one sitting. It's four chapters, and they're not very long. But in Jonah chapter 3, as you turn there, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, verse 2, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." If you're there, read verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said that they repented. Verse 6, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. You talk about a response. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's not required in the Bible, but I wept and got on my knees when I got saved. Verse 7, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Don't even let the animals eat. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Read verses 9 and 10 with me. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. God doesn't repent of sin, and evil isn't always sin. Evil just simply means bad things. And then in the context, it can be bad things that are evil or bad things that are justified. And God was going to pour out some evil on these people.
Yeah.
And he repented, meaning he changed his mind. Now, there's a lot of discussion about, you know, God's sovereignty and his immutability. And I don't believe he was surprised by this, folks. I think he knew it was going to happen. But he, in time, functions with man, and we could go on and on about that. But we know this. If you are lost in your sin and you will repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, then God will repent of the evil of hell that he has planned for all those who reject his Son.
Amen.
We can get all theological about explaining that, but that's the reality. That's the bottom line. And notice this again is condemnation of the condemned by those who repented.
Amen.
And this is the judgment, great white throne, and the those who repented in Nineveh basically say, what is wrong with you people? You had Jesus. What's wrong with you people in the 21st century? You've had 2,000 years of witness. You have a book in front of you that has shown the fulfilled prophecies into the hundreds that are in odds beyond our imagination. And then he's setting the stage for the end times right before your eyes, and you're still going to reject him? That's those who reject the gospel and face God on Judgment Day who are alive right now at the time I'm preaching. That's what they're going to hear at the great white throne.
Amen.
The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it.
Amen.
Here's another thought. Judgment Day is not a timed event. At this point, you're not going to get tired and hungry and bored or anything. It's going to go on a long while. Whether or not there's time in heaven is debated. There's a passage in Revelation that says there'll be time no more, and people debate whether that means that there's no sense of time at all in eternity. I don't want to get into the depths of that debate. But regardless, there's not going to be a timing on your time at that judgment if you're lost. It will take as much time as it takes to expose every sin. Every wicked thought and deed. But if you are saved, you know where your sins are judged? At the cross.
Amen.
You won't stand at that judgment. If you're a Christian, you stand at a different judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. And that's just about your rewards as a believer, not about your sins. You're making a choice. Either you're going to have your sins judged at his cross, or you're going to have your sins exposed and judged at the great white throne. This is judgment of Christ rejectors. Question, will you be there? I hope you can say, I'll be there as an observer, not at judgment.
Amen.
We're all going to be there, so I may have phrased the question wrong there. Will you be there? Yes. What's your role there? Are you a witness? Or are you going to be...
The defendant.
Are you going to be the one on trial? We'll close here. Revelation 20. This is where we'll close it. I promise. Revelation 20. Revelation 20, beginning verse 11. This is what Jesus is pointing us to. This is what's going to go down. Verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Read verse 15 with me. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's it. God's call to every one of us, if we have not already, is repent and believe the gospel. And if you have, then that's what, if you love anybody, I don't care who it is, you look in the face of anybody that you say you love, you should be calling on them to repent and believe the gospel if they haven't.
That's right.
If not, you don't really love them.
That's right.
You would not be satisfied to watch somebody burn in hell without hearing the gospel if you love them. That's why when we talk about preaching against those who are caught up in their sin and wickedness and the whole sodomite thing, we don't just condemn, we don't condemn them, we condemn the sin.
Amen.
And we call on every one of them to repent and believe the gospel. And if they will, open arms.
Amen.
None of us are anything but sinners who have been saved.
Amen.
I'm no better than anybody else on this planet. Only Jesus Christ was the sinless one.
Amen.
The rest of us are helpless sinners. And once we have received that gospel, we should be doing everything we can to tell everyone that we can.
Amen.
Explain the reality of sin and the gospel itself.
Happy my days, but now am a sinner, saved by